In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading, we're faced with a reality that all of us are concerned with, all of us think about, but we often try not to think about it, and that is the reality of death. We all know that our lives have a limit, and they're going to come to an end, and we fill our lives with all sorts of foolishness. But here we come face to face with death. And when we see death, it reminds us of how we waste our time, of how much better we could have put our time to use. And it's a reminder of the consequences of our sins and of the coming judgment. In this gospel reading, we have a poor woman who had already lost her husband, but now she had lost her only son, and no doubt when her husband died, all of her hopes for the future were placed on that one child, her hopes for grandchildren, her hopes for being provided for. We aren't told what her son died of, but we are told that he was still a youth. And so her whole world crashed around her, and she was devastated. No doubt she had prayed for her son's recovery, but it seemed to her that her prayers went unanswered. The context of this gospel reading follows right on the healing of the centurion. This happened in Capernaum, and it happened, according to the beginning of this gospel, one day prior to this event. And it's very likely that this woman's son was dying at the very moment that Christ was beginning to head on his way from Capernaum to Nain, because it would have taken him all day to have walked from Capernaum to Nain. It was not the next town over. Another thing this tells us is that Christ didn't wind up here by accident. This was not something that he just happened to randomly come across, this funeral procession, but that he came here for a purpose. And as she and all the people of the city were leaving the town, Christ and his disciples and people from Capernaum were following him, and they met them at the gate of the city. And in ancient times, the gate of the city was where all the town's business was conducted, and so you had the maximum amount of attention focused on this one event. Probably everyone in this town was there at this time, plus many people who were out from outside of this town. And then it says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. So he came and he put his hand on the bier so they would know that he was signaling to them to stop. And then he looked at the young man and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. This event would have reminded many people of the prophet Elijah, who raised up the widow of Zarephath's son. And if you compare the stories, there are many parallels between the two texts, in particular the statement that he delivered him to his mother. But if you read the story of the raising by Elijah of that widow's son, this happened after many lengthy prayers by the prophet Elijah. But in this case, Jesus Christ merely commanded the son to arise, and he did. And this showed the people that it wasn't just that a very great prophet had arisen, but that God had indeed visited his people. This was something that they had never seen before. We often go through difficulties in life. We often feel like God is not listening to our prayers, and we wonder, why does God allow things to happen? Why is God not helping us? But we don't know what God is doing. What this gospel tells us is that Christ is aware of everything. He knows all of our sorrows, and that he has his providence by which he takes care of us. We're told elsewhere in the gospels by Christ, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" That's one-tenth of a day's wages. "And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of much more value than many sparrows." God loves us, and we don't suffer without his knowledge and without his compassion upon us. God is always looking for our good, but God's timing is not ours, but his timing is perfect. Here Christ walked probably a 14-hour walk, and he arrived just as these people were leaving the town, going off to the caves that were outside of that town where they would have placed him in his tomb. If he had come a little bit later, he would have already been buried. But here he caught them at the gate. And it wasn't by accident. He knew exactly what he was doing. So we should know that the Lord looks on us with compassion. He will give us the help that we need at the time that we need it and at the time of his choosing. But we should know that he does what is best for us. God sees our struggles. He sees our tears. But God in his providence knows all our struggles that we are having, and he knew them from all eternity. And he knows the help that he would give us before we even ask for it. We need only to trust in him as a loving father who will give us every good thing that is for our salvation and will see us through even the darkest, most hopeless moments of our lives if we will only trust in him to do it. Amen.